Good evening, everyone. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's September 16th, and I'm Chair Bob Lederer, and our Secretary Jane Gatewood will now call the roll.
One moment. Ken Aaron, Fred Bear, Lydia Brisson, Lydia? All right, I'll come back to Lydia. Huh? Yeah, I think
that's
just
when I heard it when I got on.
She was on. I got kicked off earlier, so maybe she'll be back on. Michael Novick?
Here.
Ivan Alsame?
Here.
Brevlin Gold? Thomas Porter? Jane Gatewood is on. Nia Bediaco?
Present. This is Lydia Brisson. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, thank you. Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Bob Lederer?
Here.
Sasha Futron?
Here.
Anthony Fest? Manashe Saba? Tracy Rosenberg? Andrea Turner, Teresa Allen,
present.
Wesley Bethune,
here.
Nancy Saibaro Notomi,
present.
Okay, we have 11 members present. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Jane. All right,
Mr. Chair,
and can you note that Summer Reese is also present, please?
Yes.
And Terry Barishas also present. Summer Reese, Chair, Terry Barishas, National Election Coordinator. Anybody else on the call?
Point of information.
Yes.
Was Thomas Porter on?
No.
Okay. I would like to request that we accept Tracy Rosenberg's request for excused absence. She did notify us that she couldn't be on the call today.
Okay, well, the issue is that my understanding is that PNB does not allocate excused absences for committees. That's just not part of their scheme. That, you know, there's a standard of attendance, but it's not based on excused or unexcused. It's just based on attendance or non-attendance.
I don't want to find a couple meetings down the line that you're saying, oh, well, this person needs to be kicked off the committee because she didn't attend when she did give us notice that she had other.
Right. Plans. I mean, I'm not saying what we may think of that rule, but that is the current rule.
Bob, this is Tracy. I'm on the call. I was just on mute.
Good. Okay. Well,
thank
welcome.
You.
All right. So, people know, I called this as an emergency meeting primarily to discuss two matters that I thought were very time sensitive, the electronic voting question and the revised calendar for elections. So let me lay out for the stream and for those of you who may not have email exactly what my suggested agenda is, and then, of course, it can be amended.
Revelin is here.
Hi, Revelin.
Hi.
Okay. So number one is just call to order and roll call. We've done that. Agenda approval. And then just a quick reminder of the next scheduled committee. Then a general report from the National Election Supervisor, who is on the call, Terry Barishas, 10 minutes. The electronic voting option, 30 minutes. Revised calendar for elections, 20 minutes. And then Sasha Futran asked to add an item about the review of the CART rotation schedule, and she asked for 30 minutes. So any changes to that agenda?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, can we make Sasha's motion second? Because these are, like, kind of time-sensitive issues that I assume Summer would appreciate the input on, and Terry as well.
Okay, so when you say second, you mean right after electronic voting, but before
yes, exactly.
Revised calendar.
Right.
Okay. Is there any objection to that change?
Carolyn, on this next one.
Yes. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yes, I think that this was an emergency meeting, and the subject of it, I believe, was noticed. That was not noticed, that item. That's not an emergency issue. So I really object to it being added to the agenda at this point.
If I may speak to that, Bob, Sasha.
Yes. Go ahead, Sasha.
And if Lydia can speak to it, too, so we can define special meetings for the bylaws.
Okay, Sasha and then Lydia.
Well, this is an issue that has come up, and it was added to the agenda of this meeting. It is an emergency, and that cards are slated to start airing, like maybe yesterday they could have. And so it's not something that can really wait. And so since we are meeting, I think the item I believe that Lydia moved down is not something that we can do anything about this year anyway, as I understand it. So I think that I think this is far more of an emergency, actually, than other things might be. So,
okay, Lydia?
Yes, this was still a properly noticed meeting, and even though there was one issue that was highlighted, this is not like a full PMB meeting that has different criteria. This is simply a committee. And as long as it's properly noticed, the fact that it wasn't part of our year-long calendar does not preclude adding other agenda items.
Okay.
Well, I beg to differ on this. I believe that...
Bob, did you hear me? This is Jane.
Oh, no, I didn't hear you, Jane. So Jane first, and who else was that who wanted to speak?
Carolyn, please.
Carolyn, and then Summer would like to speak, please.
Okay, so I'll recognize people who haven't spoken yet first. So I have Jane and then Summer. Go ahead, Jane.
We're talking about the cart rotation?
Yes.
That was, I'm sorry, my notes aren't in better order. That was unfinished business from a prior meeting.
Okay, Summer?
Well, I know at least where I come into play on this cart rotation stuff is we had a meeting on Friday at KPFA with the local election supervisor and management there, and me in my capacity as IED discussing the potential impacts of the prior PNB pass policy of 2009 requiring 30 cart rotations per candidate and the fact that some of the larger stations have quite a few candidates and that this would create a really large impact on their schedule. And because of the late start to the elections altogether on the schedule, this means it's landing in the middle of fall fund drive and the national elections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we kind of came up with the 10 cart rotation as a compromise, you know, because some people didn't want to air carts at all. And I felt that to be completely unreasonable, but that 10 is a less onerous burden for management and staff to meet while still, you know, managing a fund drive and national elections coverage. So it did feel to me as an issue that we should deal with right away since there's an immediate impact on the stations and they're supposed to start airing right now. So this is where I weigh in on it. I'm trying to be practical and accommodate the various needs of the stations as well as the requirements of the board and being effective in the elections. So thank you.
Okay. So I heard Carolyn, and then we should really try to move to a vote on this. Go ahead, Carolyn. Carolyn?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I think we really cannot. The rules don't get suspended because it's a committee. The rules are really quite clear. Some items were noticed. One item was noticed. The rest are not. This is not an emergency item that cannot wait until the next regular meeting. Bad enough it's on a Sunday night, but to keep adding items to the agenda that are not emergency and were not noticed. And the same thing, by the way, goes for an executive session. That was not noticed. And I don't know what the purpose of an executive session is.
We're not having an executive session.
Oh, all right. The notice that came through on our online gave the number for a call-in. I'm glad to hear that. But anyway, I really would like to keep the agenda to the one item we started out with and leave the others to be dealt with legally at the next regular meeting.
Okay. All right. So having heard all the discussion, first of all, it's not one item that it was noticed for. It was two items, electronic voting and the revised calendar. But I'm ruling that because this is clearly an emergency, since the policy on cart rotation goes into effect immediately within the next few days, the election supervisors will be recording the carts or working with the station to record the candidates' carts, and therefore the policy as to how often they must be played has to be settled immediately. It can't wait till our October 2nd meeting. And since I don't believe that the specific requirements that the agenda be completely specified in advance, if that applies to committee meetings like this, I'm ruling that it's allowable to include that item. So are there any other changes to the agenda?
I would like to challenge the ruling of the chair, please.
Okay. All right. So, Jane, why don't you call the roll? A yes vote upholds the chair's ruling that it is allowable to include the item on review of cart rotation schedule, and a no vote overturns the chair's ruling, and that will not be allowable on tonight's agenda.
Okay. Lydia Brazon.
Yes, I uphold the chair, ruling of the chair.
Okay, I'm sorry, one moment. Michael Novick?
I said no uphold the ruling of the chair.
Michael, it's hard to hear you. Can you adjust your phone?
I heard what he said. I thought
uphold the ruling of the chair.
Oh, well, so if that's the correct procedure,
What did he say?
Carolyn. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hang up. Goodbye, all. I'm gone. I really apologize. I can't take this. Goodbye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm very sorry.
Well,
that
you know, in terms of protocol, the chair should make, you know, clear what it is that how he, you know, registers our votes.
Right.
You said clearly, Bob, that yes upholds and no does not.
Right. And if I agree, but I understood Michael to say that my structure was incorrect, that the normal procedure for a chair's ruling is that a no vote upholds the chair and a yes vote is a yes to overturn. Is that what you were saying, Michael? Hold on. Please let Michael speak. Go ahead, Michael.
I misunderstood the instruction then. That's all. I was just trying to clarify. So if yes upholds, then I'm voting yes.
Okay. I thought you were questioning the way the vote was being held.
No.
Sorry about that. I misheard you. Okay. All right.
Carolyn, I'm a chair on the stack, please.
We're not having a stack. We're in the middle of a vote.
I'm sorry. This is just a point of procedure. If I may.
Yes.
I think that speaking up without being recognized really is frustrating. I sympathize with Jane's frustration, and I would urge us all to ask to be recognized before we speak. I've been guilty of not doing that, and I will try to improve my ways, and I hope the rest of us will, too. Thanks.
Okay, fine. So now let's get back to the vote. Now, since Jane is not on the call at the moment, if Michael, in the past, you've been very nice about stepping in to be a secretary for Tom, are you in a position to do that now?
I'll try to. Let me see if I can find the rest of who's here. I didn't take notes as to who was on the call or hang on a second.
It's at the top of the agenda I sent out tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
are you at a computer?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Okay.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank
you. So Lydia Brazon voted yes to uphold the chair. I voted yes to uphold the chair. Yvonne Alsman.
Yvonne, how do you vote? Okay, why don't you go ahead, Michael? We can come back to him.
Reverend Gold, not here?
I vote yes.
Reverend, okay. Mm-hmm. Jane left the call. Nia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Karen Burton?
I vote no.
Bob Litter?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Anthony Fest, not on the call. Sasha Putran?
Yes.
Tracy Rosemary, not on the call. Andrea Turner?
No, wait. Tracy is on the call.
Thank
you, Michael, or Bob, or whoever. Yeah, I vote no.
I thought I heard somebody asking for an excuse absence.
Yeah, but then a moment later she said she was on the call.
Okay. I
was on the call the whole time. I didn't really want to be, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to stay. But.
So I'm sorry, what was your vote, Tracy?
My vote was no, Michael.
I have a point of information. This is Teresa.
Yes.
Is this a vote to include the issue of the carts?
Yes. A yes vote upholds the chair's ruling that the cart rotation can be on the agenda, and a no vote overturns that and says it cannot be on the agenda.
I'll say yes.
Okay, that was Teresa Allen, yes. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Nancy Severin-Axelman?
Yes, uphold the chair.
Okay, so that's 1-2.
Hello.
Hello, is that you, Ivan? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I vote no.
I'm sorry, you vote no? Okay.
Yes.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, yes, and 1, 2, 3, no. So the chair is upheld.
Okay, thanks, Michael. All right, so that item is on the agenda, and the question that that Sasha had raised was to move it up, or perhaps it was Lydia. But anyway, the motion was to move it up to be the new number 6. Is there any objection to moving it up? Hearing none, then that's moved up to number 6. Okay, any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Oh, and I'm sorry, I forgot to read the part that says adjourn at 10:15 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so now with that addition, any objection to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted, and we proceed to our first item. Reminder that the next committee meeting date, as per our vote at our last meeting, is Tuesday, October 2nd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So that's just an FYI. Okay, the next item is a general report from the National Election Supervisor for 10 minutes. I forgot to ask for a timekeeper. Would someone please keep time? A volunteer?
I guess I can look at the time, too.
Thank you so much, Michael. Okay, Terry, the floor is yours. Terry, are you
Hello?
On the call?
This is Revelyn. I disconnected accidentally. I'm back on.
Oh, no problem.
I might have been muted. Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'll keep this under 10 minutes. The nominations are closed. The record date is passed. Local election supervisors are furiously going through the packets, nomination materials, checking qualifications, petitions, and so on. Maybe not everybody on this list knows that we have established a grace period for candidates who have defects in their nomination materials to try to remedy them. For example, if someone is short on valid signatures or was unable to get their statement online because of we had some problems with the website, or if they forgot to sign the cover sheet saying that they've read the fair campaign provisions, any of those kinds of defects, if the local election supervisor discovers them in a cursory examination of all the materials, they will notify them and give them until September 20th to remedy any defects. the petition checking is being very burdensome in that the there was a flurry of memberships which are not data entered after, you know, prior to the September 13th new record date. And many of the people who, you know, if someone needed a petition signature, they often got somebody to join, send in their money, and then sign the petition, but those people are not on the database yet because there's a backlog. So it's being problematic. Also, some of the stations have an inordinate number of prospective candidates. KPFK, I think, has 48. We're dealing with it, you know, administratively. Let's see, what else do I have to say? Most of the stations, the local election supervisors, have actually begun recording carts of people who it appears are likely to be qualified, but there have been there will be no declared qualified candidates until they've completed the review of until at least after the September 20th close of the grace period. But as simply a pragmatic matter, if you have 30 or 40 people to record, I've told them they can go ahead and start recording people. And worst that would happen is somebody might be recorded, and then we find out they're not a qualified candidate. You know, it's some time out of the person's day, but we need to get going with recording them. So it's going to take a while to get all the carts recorded. We're recording both 60-second carts and 30-second carts. And that's it. Not all the stations have started that, but many of the stations have. I guess that's all I want to put in the general report, because I want to give you time to talk about the things that you really want to talk about. So I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you very much.
This is Lydia. I have a question.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Terry, it seemed to me it was really driven home this time. I've thought of it before. And you've been with us in one of our very early elections, and now you're here again. Do you see any compelling reason to have these burdensome petitions? At the time, you know, it arose out of, at the time we were in conflict, and it seemed like a security measure, I think, for some people, that you would know 15 actual members to sign. But your average person that lives in an area where he might not know fellow, you know, station members, they don't know that we get together the night that you turn in your stuff and can get some signatures then. So unless you're with a slate or something like that, well, then it's kind of easy. Then it becomes, like, unduly burdensome. So I was thinking of putting forward an amendment to do away with that portion of it, a bylaws amendment. But do you see any other reason to keep it?
I think that having some hurdle is relevant, is a good idea. I think the 15 signatures for listener candidates to a large extent, limits it to people who are already on the inside and deeply immersed into the station culture. Average listeners would have, since the membership list is secret, in other words, people aren't allowed to know who else is a member.
Right.
If you're not already part of the inner workings, there's no way you can get 15 signatures. So I believe it's problematic. We have had signing events and tried to facilitate people getting signatures by putting their names and contact information to an anonymous email connection so that listeners could go online, see who's running, look at their statements, and contact them saying, I'd like to sign your petition. I'm not sure that was particularly effective.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to make it so that people who were not already plugged in could get signatures. It did help, but KPFT tried an experiment with allowing online signatures, digital signatures, which is somewhat controversial, but it was an experiment. I believe that the current system for petitions is not ideal, and I don't know what the solution is.
Thank you.
Sasha for the stats.
Go ahead, Sasha.
So I'm coming at this, I think, from a little bit different direction than Lydia is. I have always thought that the 15 signatures were very few, and while I understand that if you're not, you know, really immersed, it's hard to get the signatures, but if you're not a part of a slate, it's also impossible to get elected. unless you're, you know, a very well-known personality in an area. But I heard you saying that the extension of time was to allow people to gather more signatures, and I was sort of, you know, questioning that. I can understand. I mean, I know here, at least at KPFA, there were a good deal of difficulties in dealing with the website in terms of, you know, filing the statements and so forth, and so I can understand, you know, extending the deadline because of that problem. But is it really necessary to extend the deadline to get more signatures? I mean, are there stations where there aren't enough candidates? We seem to have an abundance. Maybe KPFA could lend that station a few.
Lend some candidates to WPFW. I can't speak to why the nominations were extended for all stations. That was Summer's call. But I can say that as we approached the deadline, the original September 1st deadline, there were at least a couple of elections where there would not be as many candidates as there were seats open.
There were some, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions?
Point of information?
Yes.
Which station? Who's speaking?
That was Wesley, I believe.
Wesley,
yeah. Terry?
I'm still here. What?
Oh, did you hear Wesley's question?
My phone petered out on me. I had to grab another one.
Wesley, can you repeat?
I didn't hear the question.
Okay, yeah, the question is, before the extension, what stations had not achieved the enough seats to fill the vacancies?
WPFW and KPFT.
Thank you.
And I believe at least one other station had exactly three staff candidates for the three seats. They had enough to fill the seats, but not enough to have a contest. And I don't remember which station that was.
Okay, this is Revelin. I just want to understand, what is it that WPFW did not have enough candidates for?
Either the listener or the staff election, because you have to understand at WPFW, they did not reach quorum last time, so all 24 seats are up for election this time. So they needed a lot of candidates.
Yeah, we did not reach quorum last time or the time before that. And I just want to be really clear that in the beginning of this committee, when I joined it, I said the most important thing is not whether we're going to have the election, but if we're going to do something about reaching quorum so the money won't go down the drain. I'm not sure that we're quite doing that yet, but, I mean, it's still a little early in the game. I do believe we have maybe 35 or 40 candidates now, and some of them are still being checked out. But to have to reach the whole board is a bit much. But if we don't get quorum, it'll be the third election.
Now we're at time for this item, isn't
it? Oh, mm-hmm. We're at time for this item on the agenda.
Okay.
Revelin, did you get an answer to your question?
No, well, my question, I'm clear about exactly what it was that we were talking about.
Okay.
It's just fuzzy, so thank you.
All right.
Was just something else.
Sure. Okay, so the next item is the question of the option for electronic voting. I'm trying to pull up my agenda again. Someone have it handy and tell me how many minutes we agreed for?
30 minutes.
Okay. All right. So the floor is open on the question of electronic. Well, first of all, actually, maybe Summer could explain to us her decision and how it was made and when and so forth.
So are we talking about on the change of schedule or on the electronic voting?
On the electronic voting.
You know, honestly, Terry sent me an email that said that my predecessor, the previous ED, had decided to go forward with electronic voting. I had gotten some feedback that it might help us to achieve quorum, that, like, this is an issue, as Revelin just cited, and it's been an issue, you know, every election that I've seen. I mean, even before I was on the board, my mom and I drove 100 miles to cast two ballots so that we'd reach quorum. And, like, that's, you know, so, and on another level, I mean, I'm not too comfortable myself with electronic voting in general, like in the society.
But I don't think the third-party vendor is likely to get hacked to deal with our voting, quite frankly, in quite the same way that we might get in a presidential election or something. And I do think that if it helps us to increase our likelihood of achieving quorum, especially in those station areas where it is difficult, that would be very worthwhile for us and possibly cost-effective. And also, it probably is the direction that we are moving in. So by having a hybrid election where people have to, you know, choose to take that method, it seemed logical. I was also, as you know, kind of just, you know, I jumped into things while they're already in progress, and that decision had been made, and I didn't see a tremendous reason to go against that decision. But I'm perfectly willing to hear what people have to say. But quorum is probably, frankly, the largest, like, objective factor for me, is that I think that anything that would help us to get there and make it easier for voters to participate, because I'm, you know, I'm fully aware of how low our participation level is on these elections and how hard it is for us to reach each hurdle along the way from a, you know, a numbers perspective and member participation. So that's really what went into it, you know, and I'll listen to what everyone's concerns are.
This is Lydia.
Thank you. Lydia, before you speak, I just want to give one piece of background to the committee. It was in my email, but in case someone didn't see it, and for the stream, that this committee did discuss and review and take action on the referral from the PNB back at the end of June of a motion to authorize electronic voting. And after a thorough discussion, we not only voted to reject the motion that was referred to us to authorize electronic voting, but also a substitute motion for a more modest form that would have trial runs, if you will, at two stations in the staff elections. And in fact, the general motion from the board was defeated by a vote one yes, 10 no, and one abstention. So just as background, that this committee has already dealt with this and expressed our position, which was sent to the PNB on July 17th before their in-person meeting. So
thank you, Bob.
So that's on the record. So,
and if I could just elaborate before you go to the next person on one other issue, you know, for whatever it's worth, I mean, I certainly was quite chagrined like 3 years ago during an election that the PNB seemed to have absolutely no effect and authority on what I thought was going wrong at the time in that election. And I, well, to put it, you know, as best that I can, it doesn't seem that the PNB is supposed to weigh in on all of these factors. So I want to hear what everyone has to say. I'll go back to the bylaws, but I think the way it is structured is supposed to leave a lot of these decisions in terms of the administration of the election in the hands of the election supervisor and the executive director working with the election supervisor. So I respect what everyone's input is, but I think, you know, I will still have to go back, take a look at what the authority is on all that, and make a decision accordingly.
Okay. So I heard Lydia, and then we'll take other.
I have a motion, and it reads as follows. Whereas the additional cost to include e-voting as an option in the 2012 election, and whereas the cost effectiveness and impact on increasing the likelihood of achieving quorum is purely speculative as it relates to Pacifica, be it resolved that the following question be included in the fundraising appeal accompanying the ballot. If there is an option to vote by electronic ballot, would you use it? And that question be placed in a cutoff portion of the appeal letter, which may then be returned with the ballot. And I don't know if there's another survey included with the appeal letter, it could go instead of the appeal letter on that other survey. The point is to get input, because although it may increase quorum with other demographics, we have a very senior demographic, and it may not make a difference. It may increase quorum. It may be cost effective. We may have enough savings on the reply envelope to justify the extra $5,000 that was projected, which would be an additional cost, or not. The point is that we're going to have an election very soon after this one. You know, we start in the early part of next year, gearing up for next year's election. So it would seem to me to be more prudent And because I, even though I'm opposed to e-voting, I personally would not opt in. That I do think that the membership, as Summer said, we might be going in that direction. We don't know. We don't know what our listeners and staff want. So it's not about, like, I'm sure I have no doubt about the integrity of this company, but we have had so many recent glitches, including the candidates with this latest election site, which was not the company. I don't think that was our internal thing. But still, every time you experience a glitch, even when you have a password, our national survey for one of our management people, our local survey for one of our management people, just glitches galore, even when you have a password and you can go online. So it's less about thinking that something is going to get hacked as much as these glitches that could affect the outcome. And it may not affect the outcome, but that's the perception. And it may not be the perception. We just don't know. So I'm saying before we invest the money, the time, invoke the hassle, possible invitation of challenges, why not just ask the membership and the staff what they, if they would use it, and then do it in 6 months when we start this thing all over again.
Okay. Thank
Tracy
you.
For the stack.
Okay, Tracy, and then I want to call on myself. Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, Bob, I just want to let you know I've been on the call. Andrea.
Oh, hi, Andrea.
Andrea.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh, sure. Great.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, it's important to note that the bylaws do, in specific language, and I can pull it up if need be, give the election supervisor under the supervision of the ED discretion to start electronic balloting at any time. The other thing that's probably worth noting is that we did such a survey at KPFA in 2010. It went out by email. I believe it went out to 5,000 of our 20,000 voters, and around 800 to 1,000 were returned, and it was overwhelmingly in favor of electronic voting. That may be partially related to the demographics of the Bay Area, which is a fairly high-tech place as parts of the country go. But as I recall, and I'm sure this can be pulled up from somewhere, the response was overwhelmingly positive for electronic voting. And again, that was a survey of not a humongous chunk of the membership, but approximately 25% of KPFA's overall membership, and about 10% responded. That's all.
Okay. Calling on myself, I actually did pull up that part of the bylaws so we can look at the question of who is supposed to authorize this. In Article 3, Section 8, it says, quote, "The foundation may, in its discretion, provide a secure means of voting by electronic means via the Internet, provided, however, that members shall still have the option of returning written ballots by mail. Any such Internet voting shall have a coded system to identify members and to prevent members from casting more than one vote electronically or from voting by both mail and by Internet." So the key phrase is the foundation, and I would argue that that is, in all other contexts in this bylaws, that is the Pacifica National Board as the highest authority that directs policy for the foundation, not the executive director acting on her own.
And not
in this case the National Election Supervisor, although there are other functions in the bylaws where the NES is the decision maker, but not in this particular matter. So on a process level, I would say that it would be incorrect for the IED to make any decision, pro or con, on her own, number one.
Mm-hmm.
On the content level, I agree with the thrust and intent of Lydia's motion, but I've just forwarded to the committee a slightly different version of the motion, which I would like to put forward as a substitute that gives a little more detail on the rationale for not going forward this year with electronic voting, but instead polling people. And I do hear what Tracy said about the poll at KPFA, but as she said, it was a limited portion of the membership, and it was only one station. And, we don't know how weather conditions may be different as far as receptivity toward e-voting in other stations. So I think that poll is really important before we invest the $5,000 or more that it may cost to commence this process. So let me just read it for the stream or for those who committee members who aren't sitting at a computer.
Thank you.
It starts by just putting in the language about the committee recommends. The PNB Elections Committee recommends that the PNB adopt the following motion. Whereas ESC, the balloting and tabulation contractor, has stated that for an additional cost, it can include e-voting as an option in the 2012 election. And whereas the cost effectiveness and any impact of e-voting on the likelihood of achieving quorum is purely speculative and is being considered against the specific recommendation of this committee taken after serious discussion, be it resolved that the committee recommend to the PNB that rather than suddenly impose a new process on the Pacifica electorate in a year of a rash of new voting standards, quote-unquote, in many of our communities, data which can help guide the foundation in its 2013 election process be collected via the following question included in the member survey accompanying the ballot. And this is the same text as this question is the same text as Lydia's proposal. If there's an option to vote by electronic ballot, would you use it? So the only substantive change here on the action clause is that it be part of the member survey, not the fundraising appeal that will accompany the ballot. Okay.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, so Carolyn, anyone else for the stack? All right, go ahead, Carolyn.
Nancy.
Yeah, I think
was
Tracy ahead of me? I thought Tracy was ahead of me.
No, Tracy spoke already.
Well, I think you may have misread that section of the bylaws. It says that the foundation mm-hmm. shall provide the means, essentially. It doesn't say who decides whether or not the means shall be applied. But it says that the foundation shall provide the means. I forget what the operative noun is, object of that noun, but the verb is provide, not decide. So the decision-making process is still in the hands of the ED and the National Election Supervisor without interference from the board, I believe. And once that has been decided, then the foundation itself will provide the operative thing. The question also about the whether or not people are going to do it this year or next, we cannot keep continuing to postpone this. We have one excuse or another. There's always been a postponement, and we will never know. As Lydia points out, a lot of it is speculative. Evidence from other resources points out that, in fact, we stand to gain considerably from electronic balloting if it's well-run. It's not going to be any better well-run with a different company or doing it ourselves with some handmade system, as was the case in the cases that Lydia cites where there were glitches because it wasn't well done. It wasn't well done because we did it ourselves. This is an experienced company that has run electronic balloting, and if we're ever going to have an experiment that is going to be free from criticism of amateurishness or bias, this would be the year to do it now that we have this company on board who's offered to do it. Continually citing the $5,000 fee, I think, is misleading because, as someone has pointed out, several people pointed out, we may recoup that and then some in today's postage costs. So I would like to urge that we not adopt a motion that has anything to do with delaying it, that we go ahead, that we move ahead and continue with some experiment this semester,
okay.
This year, rather. Thank you.
Tracy, for the stack, I need to correct the bylaws citation that was used. It's not the correct portion of the bylaws.
Okay.
Can I, please?
Well, I'll put you on the stack.
Okay.
Next is Nancy.
Yes, thank you.
And then Wesley.
Thank you.
Way I understand is that this trying to use the EV, electronic voting, is because it'll be easier for some people to push a button than to write and sign a ballot and put it in the envelope and then put it in the mailbox. But I think more important is to educate our listeners the importance of quorum. And I don't think they know that. I mean, if you ask a lot of listeners, you know, are you going to vote? And, oh, it's too much trouble. Oh, well, I just, you know, everything has always gone on and on. So, you know, without my vote, so why should I vote? And so I told this listener yesterday, I said, well, if we don't make quorum, we lose all the money we paid for this election, and the board will not change. And I said, at least give back an empty ballot. He said, we lose money? I said, yes, we're spending a lot of money for a very fair election, for a fresh blood or a fresh change of the board. He said, oh, in that case, I will send back a ballot or vote. And so, you know, I think the main thing is they don't understand how important it is to vote. And if we're our programmers, the people they know very well, were to just say just a few sentences about this and explain, then that I think that would increase the quorum more meaningfully, because if you have a reason to vote, it's much better than if it's just a reason of pushing a button and going to the post box. It's okay, that's all. Back to you.
Okay. Wesley?
Yes. Tracy was talking earlier about a poll they had at KPFA if people would use electronic balloting, and I believe they got 10% responding, but I just wanted to point out that they were contacted via email, and so you leave out people who do not have computer access or the time to go to the library. You're leaving out poor people who cannot afford one. You're leaving out shut-ins, prisoners we have at KPFT. So you're discriminating against a lot of poor people, although they don't tend to contribute as much money. Sometimes the widow's mite of $25, you know, is matters for something. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Okay. Tracy, and then I'll call myself again. Tracy.
Yeah, Bob, could you put me on stack, please? Andrea.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Andrea.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I'm calling on people first who haven't spoken yet. So go ahead, Andrea.
Oh, okay, thanks. The key operative for me, the foundation, wouldn't that mean, and I'm raising this to mean the PMB first before you do the IED or the ED? Just clarification on that, Bob.
Well, that's clearly my reading of it. I mean, the sentence reads, the foundation may, in its discretion, provide a secure means of voting by electronic means via the Internet, et cetera. So that, you know, in other contexts in the bylaws, it does refer to the PNB as the decision maker.
That's my interpretation as well. So before we just say the IED or the ED or whoever else, I think that it should go back to the PNB. To make the decision on this. Okay.
Tracy.
Actually, the bylaws are quite clear about whose discretion is being referred to. If you go to Article 4, Section 3, Election of Delegates, it reads as follows. All elections for delegates shall be by written ballot, provided, however, that the election supervisor shall also have the option of providing a secure electronic means of voting via the Internet. So our bylaws do, in fact, define who has the option, and it's the election supervisor. So we don't need to parse discretion and foundation. The bylaws are clear, and it's Article 4, Section 3 under Election of Delegates, which is earlier in the bylaws than the previous citation.
This is Lydia.
That's the one that we would use.
Sorry, Lydia. I thought you were through.
I'm not through. And the other thing that I would say is I hear Wesley's point. I actually work on the digital divide in my day-to-day work. And we should understand that no one is suggesting that electronic balloting will replace or in any way eliminate written ballots. Written ballots will still be provided to anyone and everyone that wants one or needs one. And I believe that we have never suggested doing away with written ballots in any way, shape, or form. electronic balloting exists for the convenience of our listeners who find it easier to vote that way, and a significant chunk of our listeners are probably in that category. It may be 10%, it may be 50%, it may be 70%. I agree with Wesley that it's never going to be 100%. However, there's questions about whether the percentage of our listeners who prefer to vote by written ballot, as long as their needs are taken care of, basically trump the amount of our listeners who would prefer to vote electronically, and also trump the financial needs of the foundation, which basically stands to save a significant amount of money by allowing those people who prefer to vote electronically to do so and not preventing them from doing so. So to me, it seems fairly clear that we can accommodate both sets of listeners and that we should let people vote in the way that's most convenient for them without being basically prescriptive about written ballots being our preference, especially since our preference is incredibly expensive and we are suffering financially. So to me, I don't think we have a lot of time to start making this transition, and there is a chunk of our voters for whom it will be considerably more convenient and they will thank us, and I think we also need to take that into account. So I hope that we will move forward with this, and again, the bylaws citation is Article 4, Section 3, election of delegates, and it says that the election supervisor has the option, when the bylaws were written, of providing a secure electronic means of voting via the Internet, period. Thanks.
Okay, this is
point, point of information.
Yes, point
Tracy.
Of information.
Yeah. This is Andrea.
Andrea, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you're proposing that we do utilize both tools, electronic as well as mail.
Yes, and I'm also saying that the bylaws already permit the collection supervisor to do that, period.
Yeah, with the real realization that the PMB is the one that would do the whole thing about getting an election supervisor. So.
The PNB observes the bylaws like every other entity does.
Well, right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Lydia?
Yes, and like so many issues with the bylaws, and as we discovered, we had our own counsel give an opinion on something that we had practiced differently in terms of the committee formation this year. So I think that when you have two sections that may or may not coincide, all it does, the fact that we're debating that issue means that it could be debated in court. And so why not err on the side of caution, take the survey, take the time to get legal opinions on it so that we do not have challenges and enter into something rather hastily. It's been talked about for a long time, but it hasn't been acted on. I would not have a problem acting on this once we have some sense of what our listener response would be, and I do not see why we could not postpone it till next year. It's right around the corner, and by then we could have time to have a clearer picture of our vulnerabilities in relation to this, because the bylaws are filled with these kinds of seemingly conflicting statements. Thank you.
Okay. Point of information, Carolyn here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not clear what conflict Lydia sees. It seems clear to me that the supervisor, the NES, is authorized to do what the bylaws say they can do. Is Lydia questioning that or something else? I'm not clear on what she thinks.
There's
a significant point of conflict there.
Yes, go ahead.
So it was the portion that refers to the foundation is doing it. That's always been interpreted to be the board. But it doesn't matter whether you and I agree. The point is the fact that we don't agree and that there are conflicts even on this committee as to the interpretation of this just makes it very clear that whoever loses election or whatever could always, like, invoke the authority depending on his or her interpretation. So I'm just saying get a legal opinion, get a little bit of clarity, take a survey. The more you have backing up your decision, the firmer ground you're on when there are legal challenges. That's all.
Respectfully, I disagree with that. If I need to speak to that, I think that that's a very wrong interpretation of some very simple English.
Okay, hang on. Let me ask our timekeeper, Michael. How many minutes are left for this item?
About six.
Six? Okay.
Teresa, for the staff.
So Teresa hasn't spoken yet, and then Carolyn and Wesley, and then we really need to take a vote on the two motions. So go ahead, Teresa.
I belong to at least three organizations where I get their ballots, and there is an option to do it electronically. And although I'm not one of those people that walks around with a smartphone and pays my bills through the computer and all that, in fact, I'm somewhat resistant to it, but I can appreciate other people wanting to use that, and actually that might be a motivation for them if they're always carrying their computer around and always conducting their business with their computer. That might be a motivation. I disagree with Lydia's point about feeling necessary to do a survey or go through the lawyer counsel for his opinion. But I would like to seriously give to our election supervisor the authority to make informed, wise decisions based upon experience. If Terry feels that we can save money, I really feel that he should weigh in and we should follow his advice on this. I still think that there's maybe a possibility that we can negotiate this for a smaller amount, because I think that if we went with electronic voting this year, this might be a motivation. I think it's a one-time cost. Obviously, we're going to be motivated to go with that company the next year because we can, if it works out well, that's a motivation to go with them. So maybe they could work with us and even negotiate a better price for this. I don't know. We haven't tried. We won't know till we try. But I do want us to remember, rather than micromanaging our supervisor, I appreciate where he wants information from us, but I think that we as a body that, only have a lot of us part of the pieces and we're all groping around the elephant to see what it looks like, we should depend upon our election supervisor to give us an informed advice and actually make some decisions. Thank you.
Okay, so we're very short on time, so we have Carolyn and Wesley. Please make your remarks short, and then we move to a vote. Carolyn.